This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
We are now joined in the studio by two more amazing performers, writers.
Triple threats. Yep. It's true.
Who are going to be here for the Melbourne Fringe Festival. It's shaping up to be an amazing event again this year.
Yeah.
And so we are welcoming to Bad Gays, Gavin Roach and Tim Korba.
Hello.
Hey guys. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
And yes. I think you've come straight from a show or a performance, have you tonight?
Oh, no, I've come straight from work.
Oh, you've come straight from work.
Yeah, nothing that exciting.
The dedication. We love that.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Now, the first thing we're going to talk about tonight is a show, Gavin, you're directing.
Yes.
Called Lake Disappointment.
Yes.
Now,
Helen, it's the Victorian premiere.
It is, and the Sydney Morning Herald has labelled it, this is the most intriguing work of theatre in Sydney at the moment.
That's really exciting.
Now, why this appealed to me, as I mentioned off air, was that it's about narcissism. And I'm of the opinion that 99.9999% of the human population are actually narcissists. So take us through a little bit of this story, Lake Disappointment. There's a hand model, there's an actor, there's
a hand model?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's extremely, like, abstract. I was really drawn to it because I adored the two artists who wrote it, Lachlan Philpott and Luke Mullins. And so that intrigued me. And then starting to read it, I honestly obviously thought it was probably going to be about a lake and some disappointment in my life. But no, it really dives into this character named The Double. You never really learn this character's name.
I noticed that.
A body double for
Kane and his doppelganger.
Yeah,
that's
so
how it's referred
he's
to.
He's the body double for this actor, Kane. And he started out as a hand model, and he very much so has a lot of respect and ego around his hands. And his body itself. And you slowly through each scene begin to dissect this person's world and brain and realize that you know everything and nothing about them at the same time. And it's probably one of the most joyful and frustrating plays I've ever worked on, because you can sit there and just mull over what this person could be, turn the page and you're completely wrong. And there's a whole new set of ideas and mannerisms and ways to interpret. And like, part of me, every time I watch the scenes, even though we've been working on it for months and directing it, I feel like I've got my hands really into it. We'll finish off a scene and part of me is just like, I have no idea what's happening.
And Tim, your role in all of this is?
I play the double.
You play the no-name doppelganger.
That's who I am, yes. Kane's doppelganger.
And the listeners can't see what they look like, so they actually look like twins.
Ooh.
The secret's out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how do you feel? So we've just heard Gavin explain why he was so attracted to this play. What attracted you to it?
So Gavin messaged me, I kind of remember, I think it was last year.
Yeah.
And sent me the book, and I read through it, and I was like, what? There was a lot of like, what is going on here? I couldn't really understand what this like stream of consciousness kind of delivery of this guy's thoughts was all about. And then by the end of it, you kind of start to piece it all together, and it's telling this really strange, like, self-reflective story of someone that is just a reflection of someone that's more important than him on the set of a film. And it just it allows so much projection of archetypal kind of images, and it's just been brilliant. Every time we run it, I'm like, oh, I'm learning more stuff about this stuff. And there's more things here every time we do it. And it's really exciting to try to honour that multifaceted kind of stuff. I'm like, that's my jam.
I feel like this is so appropriate for today's day and age. I feel like this is secretly happening to everyone. It's as simple as even on social media, people are posting photos that you look at them and you, especially when you know the person, you're like, this is not how you normally act, or this is not what you normally wear. And it's kind of scary. And when you, I guess you guys are taking a minute to think about it and actually show people, and everyone's...
Well, that's the difficult thing with this character, is because you think that you're diving in to find kind of the antithesis of what makes up a reflection.
Yeah.
But there's just... it's the more and more we look into this character, the less and less we know. The less and less we're able to go, oh, that's definitively you. Yeah. For a character... And it's just brilliant writing, because you find out so much, but you find out so little. And in a way that intrigues and annoys me, I adore script analysis. So I go crazy and invent the character, and they're real people and real this, and I want to know their backstory. I don't really care about their favourite colour or things like that. But you want to know so much more, and you get so little from this character.
I think...
so much at the same time.
Is Kane... a polarizing character? Like, are you sitting there and watching this as an audience member, or as a director, or even as the doppelganger? And is Kane one of... I love plays and stories where you're reading and there is not one redeeming feature in these characters, but you're so invested in them.
It's a lot like that. Yeah, wow. You're really sucked into this person. There are so many times where Tim and I would just close the book at the end of a scene or the end of a run, and we're just like, here's the worst person. So much.
And then you have to open it again, because you have to find out what is about to happen.
Mm.
And I love characters like that, because they're a thinking person's character. You're not... you know, it's wonderful to go to the theatre and be challenged by what's on the stage, that you're not just sitting there mindlessly like a lot of people do, and you know, sometimes you go to movies for that escapism where you're sitting there mindlessly just thinking, oh yeah, right, okay. But a play like that really challenges you, I think is just, they're wonderful. And the characters, and as I said, I love characters that don't have any redeeming features, and you just go, yep, right, I can relate. Well done.
You won't beg it.
Now, here's a bit of a question for you, Gavin. You're a director, a writer, an artist, a performer.
Oh my God. I feel like we've got the same question.
If anything, you cannot classify yourself as bad in any sense of the word. So tell us, what was the journey you took to become all of this, to have many strings in your bow, so to speak?
I mean, if it helps, I can't sing.
Get out.
That's it.
That's my bad thing. 2 years ago, I did make a comedy festival show called All the Songs I Can't Sing.
Oh, lovely.
And it did not go well. Because I sung on stage, and like a lot of friends suddenly went wide-eyed and were mouthing, like, you can't sing. And I'm like, it's in the title. But yeah, I've been doing this for about 10 years. So it all started when I ran away from home and ran to Wagga Wagga when I was 18.
As like you do.
Went to acting school there and got my first 2 degrees, and then just went from there. And then I was studying my first master's in arts management, and I was just like, I was working in a place called Build-A-Bear, which sounds super sexy, and it's not, because it's building stuffed animals.
That's exactly what I thought it was.
Yeah, same.
I thought it sounded cute.
Yeah.
Look, it is. until the kids come in.
Yeah, true.
You lost me there, so...
But yeah, I remember just standing there, and it was like 2 hours before anybody came in, because it was middle of the day, and I'm like, well, life can't be this. So I wrote a show, and I wrote a show called Confessions of a Grinder Addict, and next thing, it went around the world. And it was a bit I didn't know I could ever write. It was the first time I was on stage again in about 5 years, and it was a very big diva moment for me, where I'm like, it's my glorious return, and if I have to go back to the stage. And next thing, I was in Edinburgh doing it, and in New Zealand, and then I wrote the next one and learnt as I went, and now I'm sort of in a position where I'm just like, well, I can do it. And so I'm just being very strategic about what I do, and I kind of got a little bit sick of sort of sitting around just railing against what I wanted to see on stage, or the work that I wanted to do, and that notion of like, well, you can sit in the corner and bitch about how to play the game, or you can jump in and grab the ball and yep. Sports metaphor. Fun.
Yeah, lost on...
Look, I have no idea. It sounded good at the time.
It was worth a shot.
It was. Lucky it wasn't an AFL one, or it would have really
I've lived here for 5 years and I still don't understand it. I appreciate it with the jumping and the shorts, but I don't understand it.
I don't lesbian know. From Queensland, no. Does nothing. Sorry.
Oh, well. Everything has a purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. So... Another question for you, Gavin. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Tim. We'll get back to you in a second.
That's fine.
As we were saying when we were chatting before, you've got so much going on in this festival, in this Fringe Festival.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one that caught my fancy was a exhibition.
Yes.
With a friend of yours, Ali Chowdhury.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was more the title of it that my perverted mind, but as Oscar Wilde said, I may be lying in the gutter, but I am looking at the stars.
Helen, what was that title?
It was Let Me Show You My Hole.
Oh.
Now, I'm not actually saying that to anyone.
Okay.
Thank you very
okay.
much.
Right. We're just, it's a title.
It is, I am reading verbatim the title of the exhibition.
Yes.
Now, as I said, my perverted mind went all these wrong places.
Yeah.
Which highlights why I'm a bad gay. And I want you to explain to me, Gavin, what it's actually about, because when you explained it, it fascinated me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Let Me Show You My Hole is an exhibition about donuts.
Love it.
Yum.
Yep.
Oh, love so it.
I adore donuts. And yeah, Ali's been a wonderful friend of mine for years, and he's an amazing photographer, and he takes usually photos of people, a lot of beautiful portraits, and his eye for detail is just phenomenal.
He's given the donuts like what they've always deserved, hasn't he?
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
He's given them pride of place, and he wanted to take all of that sort of like that talent and skill that he has with photographing people and capturing those moments, and wanted to see if he could do that with inanimate objects, and just chose donuts. And I love it because I freaking love donuts.
Yeah.
And it's just great. And so, yeah, so that's going to be at Meat Market as well. This whole big, beautiful exhibition about donuts.
At the Meat Market. Very
at
fitting.
At the Meat Market.
Yeah.
Love
wonderful.
It.
Gavin, Tim, thank you so much. As do give us the final plug for Lake Disappointment.
Yep. So Lake Disappointment is on at the Stables at Meat Market from the 12th of September through to the 21st, 9:30 each evening, and you can get your tickets from Fringe, from Melbourne Fringe.
Amazing.
Wonderful. Thank you,
beautiful.
Tim.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stay with
Have
us.
A wonderful Fringe Festival.
Thank Woo! You. You too.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.